Hello, this is Michael Cox, and you're listening to Michael's Office, a podcast that hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things going on in the world today. This week, I have a bunch of movies to review. I'm going to be talking about the last two episodes and more. So please stay tuned, and please step to my office. Great, it's time to be back. Time to be back? What? Time to be back. Sorry, I'm just stretching. I'm going to go take care of the door, so I'll be right back. Oh, ow. There we go. So, yeah, I am back with a review. No guest this time. Hopefully another guest will be coming soon. But as of right now, it's just me. As I said before, it's going to be a couple movies to review. It's not going to be a bunch of new ones. It's just some old ones that I haven't seen before or I had seen again. Go over them shortly. But first things first, I want to talk about the last two episodes. I was planning to do that last episode, but a friend came over and, yeah. So they're both about the guests that came. And first one with Bradley Bliven. I'm going to be honest, I had a little test run before this, just to let them know, hey, I just want to know how this worked. That's the test run. But also, the test run was like, hey, I just want to let you know, this is how it's going to be. These are the guidelines. And Bradley in real life, he's like a talker. He tells stories and he just keeps going. He has a bad habit of going on and on and on. And I said, what I meant to say was a long leash. Just keep yourself on a leash. When I said short leash, that sounds like really hold back. What I meant to say was like a long leash. Like, you can go on for a little bit, but don't go on for too long. We don't want to be here for like 3 hours. But he doesn't mean he's bad at it. It's not like somebody talks and like, you're kind of uninterested. It's like, you're more like, I'm interested, but I'd like to talk. He's great at that. But that episode, I think, really went well. That's actually an episode I'm really proud of. When people ask for an episode to listen to, that's the episode I recommend to people. He's a really good friend of mine. And I was listening to it with a friend. I was showing that episode to a friend, and I didn't feel uncomfortable. It was very, very entertaining or not boring to listen to, or like cringy. When I tried listening to myself, I wasn't too fond of that, but I felt like it was just because I was fearing for my friend. Him talking about his passions and his love, and then him just being himself and showing the world. I noticed that people in other countries are listening to this. Just showing the world who Bradley is and his love for theater and just us two talking. And Bradley explaining his story kind of a little bit, giving his side of things and telling me and others why he does the thing he does and why he acts the way he kind of acts the way he does. But he was a bit more restrained, obviously. It was a bit more professional. And it was so funny. I laughed. Like, when you hear me laugh, those aren't fake. Those are, like, genuine laughs. And yeah, it was really great, and I'd love to do it with Bradley again. I just have to come up with topics to talk about, but I love when I have a guest on. And speaking of guests, I went to Connor Shelton. He's the third time being on the podcast. Hope to branch out with more guests soon. But yeah, that was kind of just a standard thing. You could tell we were very comfortable with each other. It was very, I don't know, casual and informal. That's what I was going for, informal. And a person that listened to it said that this felt really awkward because it sounded like a private phone call. I mean, yeah, I can understand. I think he was talking about the part where we were talking about jobs. And that part, I'm like, ooh, that. Now that you point out, yeah, it kind of feels like a personal phone call. But that's like what a podcast is. It's like two people just talking. You're having a long conversation. And sometimes it can be an interview, but it's also like it's basically a recorded conversation. And if you feel uncomfortable with that, I don't understand why you watch people do it on YouTube all the time. But I think it was just maybe also if you look at it, why it was awkward. Because we were talking about our jobs and what we do. And that's not really entertainment stuff. That went on for like a couple minutes. Connor not knowing the movies I talked about was a bit frustrating, but it was a bit annoying. It wasn't frustrating, it was just annoying. But I watch more movies than him, and that's what I've dedicated my time. It's not that productive, but that's what I've dedicated my time to. And began just talking about the movies and why I liked them and reviewed them. And then reviewing a movie with him was, I felt like, my most... A word that comes to mind, expansive, I guess? I don't know. I don't think I could have done better without him. I probably would have said a lot of the points. He pointed some things out that I didn't notice. I'm like, yeah, it was like that. And I really enjoyed that, doing that with him. I really did. Again, I hope to bring on more guests soon so you can see the variety of people I talk to. Yeah. So those are the last two episodes. Please check both of them out. I believe the last one is Adequate Fun, and the next one is like Intrinsic Experiences. Adequate Fun with Connor Shelton, and then Intrinsic Experiences with Bradley Bliven, I think. Yeah. Check those out. I highly recommend them, especially the one with Bradley Bliven. But next, we're going to move on to WrestleMania 36. I am a wrestling fan. If you guys know, I think my first few episodes, I was talking about the King of the Ring. I didn't watch the whole thing. The WrestleMania 36 is a long time ago. But, that was like the last wrestling pay-per-view I was going to watch. I watched anyway, and I'm planning to watch Backlash tonight. No, probably tomorrow, if I'm not working. And from what I saw, it was pretty good. The best match, obviously, was the Boneyard match between AJ Styles and Undertaker. I'm just going to go over the matches I saw. Let me pull up the card real quick. There you go. So watch Cesaro versus Drew Gulak first. I usually pay attention to the pre-show if it's a bunch of wrestlers that I care about. And it was pretty good. It started to get rolling. And this is part one. It was fun. It was fun. It was a good technical showcase between the two. And then I saw Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler. And that was good. It was raw. It was brutal. And Shayna Baszler looked good, but then she lost. I was expecting her to win. I think she should have. But, yeah. It was fun. After that, Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan. That match could have been something different. It could have been really, really good. Could have been the match of the night. But it wasn't. Because Sami Zayn focused on being a coward and being the heel that he is. And we lost some of the awesome element that it could have been, like the awesome match it could have been. I think it could have been better. It was fine. It was good. And then Braun Strowman versus Goldberg. That's all it could have been. Just finisher after finisher after finisher. Maybe some normal moves, like a big boot, a super kick from Goldberg. But that's what it was. Just a bunch of finishers. And it was fine. It was fine. The Undertaker versus AJ Styles was a whole bunch of fun. Like, even though I got it spoiled for me, on Twitter, with all the big moments, I think I would have been more shocked if I watched it on my own or stayed away from social media. It was fun. It was a whole bunch of fun. It was awesome. Easily the best WWE, like, produced match I think they've ever had. Like, it was, like, what do you mean produced? Like, there was camera angles, and it was looking like a short film or something like that. It was entertaining. It just made The Undertaker look good. AJ Styles just was great. He looked like a coward, but it was great. It was just fun the whole time. After that, we had moved on to the second night. I skipped the first match. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship. And it was good. I think it would have been better if there was a crowd there. I'm not a fan of the results. But, you know, I feel they just, I don't know why, they could have had Charlotte Flair lose. It's okay with Charlotte Flair losing. Yeah, spoiled it. I don't care. It was great. And then the finish happened, and I'm like, After that, I watched Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley. I haven't seen any really good Bobby Lashley matches. But I feel like that's as good as it could have been. I think near the end it was getting going. But Aleister Black hit that black mass, and then boom, it was 1, 2, 3. Aleister Black's so good. What's I gonna get from this? Aleister Black's so good. He's always been that way, and he just proved that. After that, I watched Edge versus Randy Orton. And this was a long match. It's the longest match out of both the nights. And while it was long and a bit kind of boring, a little boring, I love the story it told. I think it told my... No, never mind. I lied. Second favorite story that was told. It told a really great story, though. Especially at the end. The ending is amazing. The finish is amazing. I really love that finish. Excellent job by both Randy Orton and Edge. I don't know if the one today, tonight, greatest wrestling match ever, they're overhyping it. Heck. I think they're going to tell a really great story. But I don't think they're going to have a great match. I think it's going to be okay. After that, I moved on to The Fiend versus John Cena in a Firefly Funhouse match. And again, this was a whole bunch of fun. It wasn't as good as the Boneyard match. It was still really good, though. Just seeing all the characters that Bray Wyatt and John Cena portrayed, it was insane. It was different. It was fun. And I love the finish again. I really love the finish. And finally, what should have happened at WrestleMania 30 did happen. Bray Wyatt went over John Cena. And after that, it was Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar. This could have been something so much more. It could have been so much more. I was a little disappointed, but
the result I'm fine with.
Happy with it. Could have been so much more. But Drew McIntyre looked amazing. Brock Lesnar looked good. Everybody looked good. Overall, it was a fun pay-per-view. Wasn't as good as last year's, I think, pay-per-view. Wasn't as good as last year's WrestleMania. No, it wasn't as good as last year's WrestleMania. I don't think it was, anyway. No. I'm getting a bunch of... notifications. Anyway, yeah. That was WrestleMania 36. Yeah. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, check it out, I guess. You probably already have. Yeah. Next are a bunch of movies review. I put the full reviews of each movie on my letterbox, so put that in the description. Make sure to follow my letterbox and read all of my reviews. Like them to let me know that you watched them. Not watched them. Looked at them. Read them. Whatever. I'm just going to go. This is going to be pretty short. These are the older films I watched during those newer films. I watched The Disaster Artist, which is A24's Tommy Wiseau. I think it's a biopic, right? Is it a biopic? I know it's based on a true story. It's based on a book or a novel. No, it's based on a true story. Okay, it's kind of a biopic. It's a kind of a Tommy Wiseau biopic. And Greg Sestero biopic. It's about the creation of The Room. And this was really funny. It was really funny. I wasn't expecting my mom and dad to laugh as much as they did when they were watching it. They didn't know who this Tommy Wiseau guy was. And they didn't know what The Room was. But they still laughed. And they laughed at the certain jokes. It was really funny. It was also kind of emotional and heartfelt. Especially the ending. It was one of those feel-good films of that A24 distributed. James Franco, man, he gave an excellent job. He gave an excellent performance. He did an excellent job and gave an excellent performance. He really was Tommy Wiseau. All the mannerisms, the eyes, the walk, the accent. He did a phenomenal job at this larger-than-life person. This eccentric character of Tommy Wiseau. And Dave Franco did a good job, too. Don't get me wrong. He did a great job. Seth Rogen did a good job. Other than Dave Franco and James Franco... Zac Efron gave a really good performance. Like, he did a really good job. I was surprised. Just like how the drug dealer is the best performance in the room, he gives a really intense performance when he was playing the drug dealer. Like, good on him. And then after that, I also watched another comedy. I think it was exactly after that. But I watched another comedy in Sister Act. This was my first time watching it. And it was fun. It was fun. Whoopi Goldberg and Maggie Smith gave great performances. Along with, I forgot her name. There were some other people that gave good performances too. It was fun. It was funny. Heartfelt. The music numbers were great. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched it. Then El Dorado, this is, I've seen this countless times before. It's not even funny. I've watched this countless times. Holds up. One of my favorite animated films of all time. It is lovely. Enjoyed all the comedy. Kenneth Branagh and Kevin Kline give great performances. It's hilarious. I love the animation. Some of the backdrops are really beautiful. And a lot of the jokes still hold up. Again, the comedy still holds up. Nostalgia does not get in the way. After that, I watched 8th Grade. The debut film from Bo Burnham about being an 8th grader. And somebody says 8th grade, there's always an A24 film for everybody to relate to. Well, obviously, 8th grade, everybody's going to relate to. Everybody went through at least something like this. Like, people have a lot of flashbacks to 8th grade. Like, oh, no. Oh, no, I know how this is going to go. And it really reflected that. I was uncomfortable the whole time. It was a good uncomfortable. Because I knew how things were going to go. And I knew how I would have reacted. And I kind of reminded me when I was in 8th grade. I was pretty introverted. I'm still a little introverted. But it was funny when it wanted to be. It was heartfelt and emotional. Some really great scenes. The backyard scene was amazing. And the scene in the car was intense and uncomfortable. Like, again, a really good uncomfortable thing. That's the peak of the uncomfortableness. And it was just 8th graders being 8th graders. Honestly, it was just 8th graders being 8th graders. I think of my favorite A24 film. It's a masterpiece. It's really a great job by Bo Burnham. Fantastic job. After that, I watched another awesome film in The Social Network. First time seeing it as well. I also watched a film that watched. I'll get to that later. I watched a film that did win Best Picture, and I do think this should have won Best Picture. It was the best film that year. I haven't seen Black Swan, so I can't say if that's true, but as of right now, I can't speak. I'm slurring my words. As of right now, from what I can tell, this was the best film that year. It's not my favorite film from that year. Oh, no. But it is the best film from that year. Everything was so slick and sleek and clean. Slick, same thing. And clean, it would just felt so natural. Script was incredible. It made a legal lawsuit about a website interesting. Like, two going on, and you were sucked in. Like, I don't think I've ever had a movie. I have had a movie. There were a couple movies where I was like, oh, I want to get back to it. But it's been a while since I've watched a movie. Like, man, I want to watch it. I want to get back to it as soon as possible. It was just, even though I left, as soon as I got back, right back in, as soon as I left and came back to watch it, I was sucked right back in. It's amazing. Really incredible. And then after that, I watched a short film. It was a bunch of split up into parts. It was on YouTube, Astartes, which is basically like a Space Marines animated short film. And it's the animation, man, is incredible. Especially when you put in the factor that it was done by one guy. One guy did that animation. It is absolutely stunning and so natural, and hardly any words were used. It told an amazing story, and I love nonverbal storytelling. And you use that a lot. Space Marines, man, they're bad, eh? Like, for real. Just Mm.
And after that, I really before I move on to the next one, I mean, I really suggest you guys check this out. Even though you don't know anything about the Space Marine universe, I know little. It's still awesome. Highly recommend you check it out. And then I watched Predator Dark Ages. This was fun. It was it's obviously the best Predator film we've gotten in a long time. Since maybe Predator 2. I haven't seen Predator 2. I've heard good things. So I heard mixed things. I generally heard mixed things from it. But definitely the best Predator film since Predator 1. It's obviously Predator, but in the Dark Ages and the medieval times. But that's exactly what we want. We want a knight fighting a predator. Come on, how awesome does that sound? A knight fighting a predator. I mean, you also get to see slight, small spoilers. A predator wield a frickin' sword. Come on, even though he has a wristblade, I don't know why I need a sword. Fight choreography is good. The acting's fine. It also provides the concept and the idea that, hey, maybe the Predator has visited us before. And it provides that concept of, hey, maybe we want to see them in the Wild West. And I forgot. I can't pronounce it. It's like medieval China, medieval Japan with samurai and ninjas. And maybe there it was in when China was building great walls there. And maybe it was during the Black Plague. I don't know, or something like that. Maybe it was during the Civil War it also came. American Revolution and the French Revolution and Napoleonic Wars and stuff like that. And the different periods of history the Predator came and visited us down. That would be super interesting, I think. And then I decided, I want to watch The King's Speech. And then I started thinking, I also want to watch Sahara and SpongeBob. And then I thought, and then more movies started coming in. And like, you know what? I'm going to get a bunch of movies I want to watch and then watch them. A whole bunch of movies. Even if I've seen them before, I'm going to watch them. Some movies I haven't seen before, some films I have. It's just movies I want to watch. So, I created this stack and I put the list on my Letterboxd, which I call The Stack, which is a bunch of stack of movies that I sat on a dresser and I basically pick one up and set it in and watch it. The stack has turned into just what I plan to watch. So if you want to know what I watch, plan to watch, follow me on Letterboxd, look for the list, The Stack, and you'll see what I plan to watch. All right. The first film I watched from The Stack was The King's Speech. And I love this film. I don't think, as I said before, I don't think it's better than The Social Network, but I really loved it. Maybe I'm a sucker for the Oscar bait films, but it's inspirational. It talks about things that doesn't really get talked about. Stuttering or having a stutter. Colin Firth gives an amazing performance along with Jeffrey Rush and Helen Bonham Carter. Both of them are incredible. Colin Firth gives one of my favorite performances I've ever seen. It's powerful. It's inspiring, as I said before. I really liked this film. I really did. It's a bit odd at first with the camera angles. I love the score as well. But you get used to it. And I love that it's shot all indoors. I just love this film. I highly recommend you check it out. After that, I watched one of my favorite films of all time, or movies of all time, Sahara, with Matthew McConaughey and Dash Daniel Zahn and Lambert Wilson and Penelope Cruz and Delroy Lindo and William H. Macy and Rainn Wilson. Oh my gosh, I love this movie so much. Yeah, it's probably like 3 stars on average. Yeah, it's stupid and sometimes it's too easy for certain characters. I don't care. I love it so much. It's quotable. It's got the best use of "Hi, how are ya" ever in a movie. Reactions, great. I love every action scene. Music is, not the music, the sound, yeah, the music, the soundtrack, amazing. And the score is iconic. It's freaking iconic, bro. Ah, love that movie so much. If you haven't seen it, watch it and have a fun time. I love that movie. Next, I watch a masterpiece. I watch SpongeBob the movie. Ah, what can I say? If you have watched it, you know all the lines. I love that it makes SpongeBob and makes him serious and like mature, like he grows up, kind of. Comedies on point. I didn't realize Alec Baldwin and Jeffrey Tambor were in the film. They give great performances. They're kind of unrecognizable. I think this is Alec Baldwin's best performance as Dennis. It's my favorite performance. It's maybe not the best, but it's my favorite performance. And you also get the Hoff, which is amazing. You get the freaking Hoff. And everyone gives great performances as these characters when they reprise them. I understand why this was the finale to SpongeBob. Why they thought this was going to be the finale to SpongeBob. It made all the sense in the world. Everyone was giving their best performances as each of the characters. And yeah, I am shocked it was snubbed at the Oscars. Like, why? Why did you snub this? It's a masterpiece. It's a freaking masterpiece. After that, I watched Ophelia. This was recommended by a friend because he was suggesting movies, and I said, hey, watch some of mine, and I can watch some of yours. So even. I like to keep things even. And this was a good movie. A good film, I mean. Daisy Ridley carried this film on her back, along with George MacKay stealing the show as Hamlet. Ophelia is basically like, it's from her perspective, the story of Hamlet. I liked her performance. I liked some other performances. It did feel kind of boring. It felt a little boring when George MacKay wasn't on screen. I was aching for him to come back. And it has this really, like, focuses more on, like, the girl power thing. Like, yeah, girl power. Like, again, I like it. But it was, like, hurt it in a way. And kind of, from what I heard, it disrupts the original meaning of Hamlet. And some things it does, it's like, oh, okay. And then they also get rid of, like, they kind of try to do heightened language, but not really. They should at least, like, try harder and, like, keep it iambic pentameter. Because you can't do a Shakespearean story. Unless it's, I guess, I don't know, I haven't heard the other one. Like, they do a different perspective of Hamlet. You can't do a Shakespearean story without having Shakespearean dialect. Like, what the heck? Like, I'm like, I miss it. If I'm going to watch something Shakespearean, I'm going to want the Shakespearean dialect. Come on. It was a missed opportunity. Then I watched Ace Ventura. This was super goofy and dated with some of its humor, especially at the end. And yeah, it was fine. It was fun. It was stupid and goofy. But I loved it. Didn't like some jokes at the end. I'm like, ooh, yikes. And some things that does, I'm like, wow, this is kind of stupid. That's the point. You get to see Jim Carrey and his elements, the reason why he's a household name. just because of this film, why he's given the roles he was does, and this catapults to stardom. So, you know, it's fun. And after that, I watched a much better film. I watched Bad Times at the El Royale. And this, I had a blast. It was also recommended by the same person who recommended to me Ophelia. And, oh my gosh, I loved every second of this. I loved all the characters. I loved all the twists and turns. I'm going to just... Everybody gave an excellent performance except Dakota Johnson. You can't convince me that Dakota Johnson is an actress. She's just a really pretty face. Maybe she did great in Suspiria. She's just so bland and boring. I really don't like Dakota Johnson. I really don't like Dakota. If you like Dakota Johnson, maybe you like her in Suspiria. Or you just have a crush on her. That's the only reason why you'd like Dakota Johnson. Maybe she's a great person too. Maybe she's chill. But I don't like her as an actress. But one of the positives, John Hamm, despite I'm surprised how small his role was, gave a great typecasted performance. I was about to say Paul Walterhauser. I don't know why Paul Walterhauser. He was not in this. Cynthia Erivo gave one of the best performances in the film. Chris Hemsworth was a scene stealer. He was also a small role, but he was a scene stealer every time he was in it. Louis Kuehler, I think? I forgot his name. Let me go to my review. Who was it? He played Miles Miller in the film. Let's go back down to it. Louis Pullman. He kind of reminded me of Tom Holland, but he did a good job. Again, as I said before, Cynthia Erivo was amazing. She showed off her pipes and also she showed her acting range. And man, but the best performance from this film was Jeff Bridges. Obviously he's probably going to be people's favorite character, and he's kind of the main character, what we're drawn to. But his performance was heartbreaking. And man, I got really emotional. One specific scene. Not really emotional, I cried, basically. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. And I recommend you guys watch this. You guys like Vantage Point. It's a lot like that. I really liked Vantage Point. So, yeah. I highly suggest you guys check this one out. And then I watched a bunch of short films. First up, I watched The Gunfighter, which is a comedy. It's a Western comedy where this gunfighter walks into a bar and there's a narrator. So the twist is everybody can hear the narrator. Oh my God. This had me dying. It is so funny. Yeah, it's predictable, but it's hilarious. I highly recommend you guys watch this. And then it's only 8 minutes and it's on YouTube. On about 10 minutes. It's on YouTube. Hilarious. Hilarious. Highly recommend. Same. And then I watched two animated short films. There's a Man in the Woods. Back with a gospel. First, there's a Man in the Woods. That is a haunting masterpiece. It tells the power of a lie. Even though how small it can be, it's how powerful a little lie can be. And it's haunting. The twist at the end is incredible. It's all poetry, and Michael Hall gives an excellent performance. Next, I watched Backwards of Gospel. It's creepy. It's uniquely animated. Reminded me of puppets. Also, really, really great. My only problem, if some of the imagery, I'm like, okay, calm down. It's a great critique on the church. It's a unique critique on the church. And it's got some iconic lines. Well, one of my favorite lines I'll sometimes use it is, "Well, it ain't gonna be me!" And then freaking chaos happens. I really love that short film. I'm so thankful I was introduced to it because of a video I watched, a song that I really liked, the Don't Drink the Water. That's by Justin Cross. I suggest you guys listen to that or watch the video. It's perfect for it. After that, I watched Skin. Now, this was bad. It's an Oscar-winning animated short? Live-action short? How? And then I looked at the year it won, and that's the same year Green Book won. I haven't seen Green Book, so I can't say, but... how? Why? What? Why? Why? I don't understand what it was trying to say. The only thing I got from it is racism bad. Like, yeah, we know racism is bad. Like, and then it has the ending made me laugh out loud. I got it spoiled, but I don't care. What it was just awful. This was awful. It was fine. It would have been like, if I rated it, it would have been, if it kept the way it was going, maybe they taught him a lesson, or it was like a person pointed out, I haven't seen American History X, but it was trying to be American History X and failed. It's awful. The ending is what ruins this and becomes one of the worst things I have ever seen. Oh my gosh, it was so bad. So bad. And then I watched Stutterer, which was better. It's an authentic look, I feel, like into the life of someone with a stutter. And it's got a great heartwarming ending. It made me cry. I love Stutterer. After that, Ernest and Celestine. Oh, this is so wholesome. It's wholesome. It's just wholesome. It's sweet. It's an endearing friendship between a bear and a mouse. And the animation is amazing. Forest Whitaker and Mackenzie Joy give great performances. Paul Giamatti's in it. He's hilarious. I love Paul Giamatti. He can do no wrong. And then after that, the only problem is the lip syncing. Yeah, it was made in French. And also, since it wasn't French, I got to miss Lambert Wilson portray Ernest. That would have been amazing. Ah! But it's fine. It's fine. Then after that, I watched films that are complementary to each other. I watched Darkest Hour first, then Dunkirk. A person brought up the idea I should have probably watched The King's Speech, and then Dunkirk, and then... The King's Speech, then Darkest Hour, then Dunkirk. And that would have been one British epic. One long British epic, and yeah, I can see where their point is coming from. I love Darkest Hour. It's my third best film from 2017. Gary Oldman's acting still wows me. As of right now, I do think he deserved the Oscar from all those nominated. He was deserving of it. It's just inspiring to see what Winston Churchill did. Then I watched Dunkirk after that. Dunkirk is one of the most technically sound films I think I've seen in a long time. Real, it is so technically sound. But it's a Christopher Nolan film, so it's got to be weird and out of place and janky. But after I got used to it, it was great. I've seen those films before. So, yeah. But it was very, very interesting to see one film and then the next. It was super interesting. A super interesting watch. I highly recommend, if you have both films, or find some places that you can watch both films, I highly recommend you do it. And then after that, I watched a really underrated war film. Yes, I have a speech impediment now. Really underrated war film, Fury. Really awesome performances from everybody. It's a story about brotherhood and camaraderie in a tank. And I loved this film. I love watching it again. A little bit slow, especially in the middle when they get to the village. But it's extremely well acted. I think, it's hard to say which performance is better for Shia LaBeouf. This one or Honey Boy, but he gives an excellent performance. Same thing with Brad Pitt. I think he should have been up for the Oscar that year. If he would have won any Oscar for any role before this, I think it should have been for this film. Or maybe in Seven. I haven't seen Seven. But, really, really excellent stuff by Brad Pitt. And also Logan Lerman gave a great performance, and Michael Pena was amazing. And John Bernthal kind of played the same thing. He's got two roles. He's either a jerk, he doesn't give a crap, or he's a jerk, doesn't give a crap. Well, he's a tough jerk, and doesn't give a crap. No, he's either a tough guy, doesn't give a crap, or he's a tough jerk and does give a crap. That's kind of what John Bertha, but he's so good at it. And it was just a great thing about Brother. And The Last Stand, man, is awesome. I love The Last Stand. Then after that, I watched an action film. I'm going to close the door. On Netflix. Exclusive. It recently came out. Not super recently. I watched the most recent Netflix film that came out. I watched Fury. Not Fury. I said that before. Extraction, which had Chris Hemsworth in it. And, yeah, I think especially this is after Avengers, Marvel, Cinematic Universe. He's not done yet, obviously. But he gave a good performance here. It was intense. It's brutal. I like the brutality. I mean, some people didn't like it, but hey, if you're going to have John Wick, that's brutality, you gotta excuse this one. I like, and since it was, speaking of John Wick, it reminded me a lot of John Wick, the way it was, the action scenes were shot. Especially some points. But do feel a little frantic, and it was, the characters were generic. But, and some of the performances were okay. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And after that, I watched Legend, which is Tom Hardy playing two characters at the same time, playing two brothers. And, well, it's not what I thought I was going to get, to be honest. I thought I was going to get this gangster thriller, dealing with the conflict and, like, dealing with the rise of the craze and, like, conflict between both Grey brothers, and I kind of get that, but it's more, like, the half movie focuses on Reggie Craze's romance with Francis, his wife, and I'm like, wow, this is not what I thought I was going to get. And it was pretty boring. But when Tom Hardy was interacting with himself, he gave it probably his best one of his best performances I've ever seen him do. And he, it was just, when it was just them two, it was really good and entertaining and amazing. And I wish it was just more of that. I wish it focused more on that. It was a missed opportunity. But I will say the bar fight scene, hilarious. Awesome. It was just awesome. And then when it was Reggie Cray versus Ron Cray. Tom Hardy versus Tom Hardy. I can understand why people rated it 4 stars, but I also don't. Like, really? Really? No. Yeah. Next, we have B-Movie, a film that didn't, like, what is it called? Hold up as much as I thought it would. I really liked it when I was younger. I don't remember why. Maybe it was because I liked Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld was very Jerry Seinfeld in this. I did not like his yell grated in my ears. It was very grating. The animation still holds up. The hair is surprisingly looking good. The positives. Renee Zellweger did a fine job with the script she had. Patrick Warburton and John Goodman were hilarious. They were really hilarious. Matthew Broderick did a good job. But I didn't like the fact that there was an implication that Barry and Vanessa were dating. And they did some other things. And I didn't need that image. And I also didn't like the fact that it also kind of made the joke that bees are Jews, are Jewish in the there were some other things I didn't, and also mosquitoes are African American. Like, and that's it's kind of funny, but also not. I didn't appreciate that. Yeah. Then I watched something so much better, and I highly recommend you guys. The next two films I watched, I highly recommend you guys watch these. It's Thank You for Smoking. It is shocking. It's dark. It's politically incorrect, and it's hilarious. It is so brilliant, and just Aaron Eckhart gives an excellent performance. What it is basically this centers around this tobacco lobbyist, and he's fighting for tobacco. And what he's best at is talking, and he's really good at his job. And what it does, it flips the script when, as I said before, you think that this tobacco lobbyist would be the bad guy, and the person that's the actual antagonist in the film is this guy trying to make tobacco less enticing by putting like a poison label on. And it's actually the opposite. It's really amazing. And again, Aaron Eckhart did an amazing job. And this, what angers me is this was snubbed over Crash, which eventually won that year. And that makes me angry because this is the complete opposite. It's dark. It's politically incorrect. It's, funny, and it's actually good. This, I think, if this replaced Crash, I think that year would have been a really good year. It would have been a pretty good lineup, and then, of course, obviously, Brokeback Mountain should have won that year. But if not, I think they would have won with this film. But Aaron Eckhart gives an amazing performance. I think he was incredible. He was really incredible here. Really incredible. Oh my gosh. He was born to play Nick Naylor. Other people did well. Cameron Bright surprisingly did well. William H. Macy can do no wrong. And then you have David Bruckner and Bello. I can't remember her name. Maria Bello. She did a great job. Just the whole group. The whole Merchants of Death. They were excellent together. Excellent. Really excellent. I loved that film so much. And then I watched the new Netflix film that dropped Friday. I watched it Friday night. The Five Bloods. It is a must-watch, especially in times like this. Gets a little political, but that's Spike Lee for you. It's very Spike Lee. I highly recommend it. Daryl Lindo is going for that Oscar. Everybody gives great performances. Isaiah Whitlock Jr. Does amazing. Clark Peters does amazing. Jonathan Majors does amazing. Chadwick Boseman does amazing. Norm Lewis does amazing. I highly recommend you guys check that out and get in if you want to get educated about what's going on right now. Watch this film. It's more than that. It's about war never really leaves you. It's about how basically people who are racist kind of stay in their ways and they are miserable because of it and they choose to. It's just so many things go on. Kind of a big problem is that Spike Lee likes to, while messages are great, he kind of has the characters repeat the messages, like, oh, I got, like when you say, oh, that's really good. And then they say it out loud, like, thank you, I already knew that. yeah, again, that's another one you guys need to watch. As I said before, I'll link this in the description so you can listen to the, not listen, so you can read my full reviews of each film and decide for yourself if you want to watch them. I highly recommend you watch the last two and some more that I mentioned you should watch on this list. Thank you. And please, step out of my office. Have a wonderful weekend. And...